Arts Review today is Ossian Ward, Head of Content at the Listen Gallery. Today we range from Merseyside to Moscow as we take in the Liverpool Biennale and the vast array of works contained there, and we head to Russia in pursuit of new talent and a new venue. All that coming up on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. Do stay tuned. Ossian, welcome to the show. Now, we're going to start in Liverpool for the Biennale, where it's tempting to dismiss it as a load of rubbish. Well, that's certainly an apt physical description, but does it also describe the quality of the show?
Oh, yeah. It's quite tough to say. With a biennale, you're never going to get everything, you know, top quality. And I feel that, yes, the rubbish that you're referring to is a work by Jason Dodge, which sort of flows throughout all the venues. So these are the kind of things you'll see in the corner of a gallery and think, oh, someone hasn't tidied up here. But actually, these little bottles or old cans or bits of fluff, this detritus has been collected painstakingly by the artist on his travels. So some of the things are actually, you know, you can tell they're in different languages and they're not local trash. And he's distributed them around all the different venues. So in some way, what they've tried to do with this biennial is tie all these different sites together. You know, there's 20-odd or maybe more sites together using some of these different artists. So the trash collector is one way. Another way is an artist called Lara Favoretto, who's bought off eBay locked bits of luggage, you know, the kind of ones that are left over from the airport, and she's collected them, filled them with other stuff of her own, locked them again, and then just distributed them among the galleries, leaving these kind of weird secret vessels, if you like, knocking around. And they work quite well.
A security nightmare, I would.
Well, exactly. That's what you expect to find, you know, you start, alarm bells start ringing. So, yeah, I can understand why they've tried to sort of knit this whole massive, many sprawling project together using these artists. But the problem is the sprawl. I think there's too many curators, too many themes. The Lara Favoretto with the luggage, although, yes, you could be mistaken for worrying about their presence, actually helps because she's also got another major work, and this is an outdoor piece in Granby, which is a kind of much maligned area, or, you know, sort of an area of Liverpool that needs regenerating. A lot of the houses are all boarded up. So you walk down the street where all the houses are boarded up and, you know, this property is empty of any valuables. So, you know, quite a bleak environment. And at the halfway through is this giant monolith, which Favoretto has made from stone, kind of very obelisk-like, hardcore bit of sculpture. And in the middle, there's a little slot and you can actually put money in there. And the idea, which is quite generous and quite beautiful, is that at the end, the money will then, this thing will be destroyed and created in, back into rubble, and the money will be given to a local refugee, asylum seekers charity. So in a way, if the bits of here and there, if the work here and there adds up to something more, then it's fine. But in quite a lot of the venues around Liverpool, you go, oh, there's another one of those.
Tell me about what's on show in Tate, Liverpool, because there's some classical sculpture there, isn't there?
Yeah, so that is one of these many sections which gets a bit difficult to navigate, the ancient Greece section. I'm not quite sure why we're focusing on ancient Greece at the moment, but, you know, there is Greece in the news. And in a way, this biennial tries to go from ancient Greece to the future. So there is some sort of trajectory, but that's one of their themes. And actually, the Tate exhibition is one of the more successful. They have these nice Greek objects, some of which have been sort of badly restored in a kind of quirky way, and then framed by artists. So one of the artists has actually made the kind of structures for putting them on. And there is a brilliant work by two Dubai-based artists within that area of Tate, Liverpool, which is the ISIL or ISIS destruction of some of the objects in various museums in Syria and elsewhere. These artists have then kind of cartoonized over and somehow morphed their heads. So while you see them doing these acts of atrocity, their heads kind of flow into alien shapes or they change into animals, and somehow you know, dehumanizes them and changes them, makes it slightly comic. But it's also kind of a powerful work.
Mm-hmm. You say that the show was put together by various different people, by a panel. Does that lead to a designed by committee sort of feeling? Is it cohesive? Does it hang together for you?
I think it's almost the opposite. Designed by committee tends to mean you go in and create one lumpen thing that everyone agrees on. This is like everyone's just had fun and done their own thing. So it feels too scattershot. I mean, the curators are actually very good curators, you know, Francesco Manicorda from Tate Liverpool, Raimundus Malaszauskas and Sally Talent, the director. You know, they're really good people involved. I think it's just a case of too many cooks and too many cooks doing everything all at once. So it's not as if these themes of ancient Greece, one called Chinatown, there's a children's episode, Monuments of the Future, flashback software. It's not like one curator took care of each one separately. They're all just kind of, so it is a big cluster, but you know, there are moments of greatness and moments of sort of disappointment.
Well, you can see that. It's the Liverpool Biennale. It's on until October the 26th. Now let's go to Russia. What on earth were you doing there?
There's a biennial everywhere. Where isn't there a biennial? So there's a biennial of, I think they call it young art. So in a way, what Liverpool might be doing is developing quite a good socio-economic political stance, you know, collaborative and doing stuff locally, you know, as we mentioned, in different parts of Liverpool. That's a nice way to go. But every biennial now seems to need a hook. It's not enough just to have your city on show. So this is for young artists. I can't remember what the actual cutoff age is. I'm sure it's something hideous like 30. Yeah, in terms of young art, they've tried to sort of fashion that as their overall theme. And there's three main shows this year. Again, we have the one big sprawling show, the main show, which is called Deep Inside, which is kind of a weird title. And then two other shows, the two other shows of which I found more successful and more cohesive.
Mm-hmm. So just quickly, Deep Inside, it's all about having sort of out-of-body experiences?
Yeah, and there are some, you know, out-of-body moments in the show. I suppose there's a Katy Perry video which has been analysed in terms of its Egyptian iconography and Illuminati references, which is very funny. And there are some kind of more poetic, conceptual type works where artists have obviously kind of gone deep inside, whether that's technology or, you know, going into different systems and trying to fathom them out. But it doesn't really work because it's such a big, sprawling show. And a lot of it was done by, instead of by committee, this was done by open call. So actually anyone could enter if you're young enough. So a lot of the work is kind of patchy and unproven in a way, which doesn't necessarily make it bad, but it makes the whole thing in a very ramshackle building, this Trigorgiana, I'm not pronouncing it correctly, this big sort of old factory, I think it's an old textiles factory, which is, you know, kind of crumbling and beautiful, but then you've got this kind of slightly degree show type feel to it. It feels too messy and too bitty.
You talked about the side projects, and I had a look at Hyperconnected, and I have to say that I couldn't even work out what it actually was. There was a lot of great description, but in terms of what it was you could actually see, touch, feel, I just didn't know.
In a way, it's the most coherent of the three exhibitions, but the Hyperconnected thing is obviously a reference to our current state of mind, you know, our connectedness in terms of the internet and so on. The curator of this, Portuguese guy called João Lima, I think, and it's quite convincing. You know, he talks about our own self-destruction, if you like, either through our personal identity. So there's some good works about our online selves. So Cecil B. Evans, who has made a great film about, you know, our sort of strange schizophrenic mode of being. And then you must go up these levels almost through a sort of narrative about our own kind of self-destructive tendencies towards a kind of more apocalyptic idea of what will happen when climate change and everything else becomes a major issue. So there's some quite powerful works about that. There's also some kind of quite relevant pieces by one by Yuri Patterson, in which he discovers the WikiLeaks operator's hotel room in Hong Kong and sort of follows in his footsteps. And so you're kind of in this digital zone throughout. But it's convincing. Even the objects, which are kind of plants which have been grown by the artist. There's something quite poetic about it, and it all fits together much better, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you should see if you're in Moscow. Now, another Russia story to finish off. Tell us about this. This is a big ramshackle building.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the signs are there with the advent of things like the garage and this young biennial art in Moscow that things are changing for contemporary art there. So there's a new foundation called the VAC Foundation, Victoria Art of Contemporary Life. And I think they are trying to create something fresh in a kind of power station environment, a bit like Tate Modern, in the centre of Moscow, which is a very beautiful building called Guest 2. And they've just started work on it now. It will be a Renzo Piano renovation and will be a giant new Centre for Contemporary Art in the middle of Moscow. And so it's a very exciting moment. I think it's at this kind of tipping point when, before we had Tate Modern, we weren't really sure about London's status, if you like, in terms of a contemporary art venue. But it soon became clear that the audience was there and people have loved it. And now we've got the extension and, you know, even more millions of people coming every year. So it's a testing point for Moscow to see if this will develop into something. And the foundation already has a space. It's opening in Venice next year. And they have a small sort of private foundation owned by the owner in his estate just outside of Moscow. So they're serious and they're committed. It's the question of how you then turn that into a public foundation with big shows and who's going to come and, you know, what is the public like for contemporary art in Russia.
Mm, because it's privately owned at the moment. He's Russia's richest man, is that right?
I think so, yeah. I thought he was number three. Maybe he's moved up in the world. The world keeps changing every day. But I think the idea is that it will be partly, it will be a public institution. It will be free for people to enter. And there will be some works from the collection, which they're building up. But there will also be temporary exhibitions and a kind of an auditorium and, you know, a cinema, library, you know, the whole shebang. And it will be quite an open building. The idea is that you'll be able to walk through almost like a boulevard, and it will just have all these different levels. So if you imagine the shell of a power station, it will be sort of built inside. This Renzo Piano design is to have all these different levels of galleries that you'll be able to walk through and explore. So it will be a very open environment, and it, you know, the hope is that the audience is there and that people will come and share it.
Really exciting for art and artists in Russia. Ossian, thank you so much for coming on to chat to me today. That's the end of the programme. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review. The show was produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow to talk music. But for now, I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.